The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We talked this morning in the second segment of the show about the good news that we got out of 1265 yesterday regarding some of the injuries that the Packers seem to pile up. Evan Williams was one, and Jaire Alexander was one, and of course Jordan Love was one. Adam Schefter was on Unsportsmanlike this morning with our friends Evan Canty and Michelle, and he had this to say about the Green Bay Packers quarterback.
He came out better in testing than I think everybody hoped he would. I believe he's going to play on Sunday. I believe he'll be out there. That injury was not significant enough to prevent him from playing what is going to be a huge key game that could help decide the NFC North. And again, I think they were fortunate that it wasn't worse. He is, they're being called day to day. But my guess today on Tuesday at 8:07 Eastern, my guess is Jordan Love will make it back and play.
Yeah, that is very good news, so long as he isn't hampered, right? Because, Chu, your hesitation is you don't want to make any injury worse. You need him for the long haul. And if there is a even potential for going out there making the injury worse, you should have banked the three-week recovery time because they have the bye after the Lions. But what I also thought was interesting, Chu, was that Adam Schefter called it a big, huge game. And you don't think that it's a big, huge game.
In the grand scheme of things, no, I don't. I don't think he should play. I mean, obviously there was an injury, right? I mean, he tried playing through. There was an injury, correct? I just can't see this injury being back to 100% 7 days later, based upon what I saw on the field. My concern is that he comes back. It is going to probably, like, Gabe, what will it be at, like, the game's at 3:30, at, like, 5:30, in the 50s?
Yeah, probably. Probably something like that.
I mean, you're not as loose. I'm just, my fear is, and I've done it before, I came back, and hamstrings are different than groins. We talked about it yesterday, Jen, how they're kind of grabby. But, I mean, if you re-injure it significantly more, then you're going to miss more time. It would be nice to win this game. It would be nice to say, hey, that we're on the same level playing ground as the Detroit Lions. But in the grand scheme, it doesn't matter. You're not at that point where you don't want to be kicking on all cylinders.
Which is right so now. Interesting, Chu, because you have also been the guy who says that everybody is playing with something, maybe not at this point in the season, but as the season goes on, they sort of accumulate. And you have also distinguish between playing hurt and playing injured. Is it your take that this would be playing hurt or playing injured? Sometimes I get confused. Which one is it? Is it playing hurt or
playing
injured?
Well, muscle pulls are different.
I get confused 100% of the time. I don't know which is the good one and which is the bad one.
Muscle pulls are different in the fact that if you have a broken bone and you're a linebacker or a lineman, you're not going to break it more. It's already broken. So if you can deal with the pain, you're fine. When you're dealing with a muscle pull, that and there's probably going to be some trepidation because I don't care if he practices this week. Practice at this part in the season is about 30% of a game. And you're still playing against a pretty damn good defense who knows that he has a groin injury and they're going to make him run. They're not going to sit in there and let him be all comfortable. They're going to get after him. They're going to blitz him and they're going to see what happens. Now, nothing may happen. That's great. But the downside is worse than the upside, I believe, right now. You know? And it's just, I was talking with some old school buddies back in the day. Like, back in the day, and coaches were different because they weren't as sensitive as they are today. Back in the day, if I pulled myself out of a game and played the next week, I would get my ass ripped. I'd be like, are you kidding
me? So strange.
You pulled yourself out of a game.
You're telling me, but here's the thing, Chu. I guarantee you, in your career, there were games that Brett didn't finish. But obviously, we know he played the next week.
Sure, it was a different, it's but just also, a different era.
Well, that's what I would say is, like, I don't think you can hold this generation of players to the same standard that you guys were held to because of the advances that have been made in medicine. Like, you could have gotten injured in a game and you could be better because of treatments and things that we're doing now that we didn't even know about back when you were playing, and then play the next game. It's a weird little standard you have about a guy getting pulled out of a game or leaving a game, and then if he plays the next game, it wasn't as bad or it wasn't bad enough to have left the previous game. I'm trying to, like, figure it out.
I mean... I would be called a potato in the building, not only by coaches, but players as well. That's the era I live in.
Yeah, but again, like, so you guys called Brett a potato?
No, because Brett played.
Yeah, but there were games, Chew, come on. There had to have been games where he left the game the week before.
With injury.
But then we obviously know because of the start streak, he played the next week.
Do you think a quarterback today that was on crutches and
walking
on Friday plays on? It was just a different era.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying right, wrong, or indifferent, because there were times that I played injured where I was stupid to play. Stupid.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, if he plays, is there going to be like a galvanization of guys going, "Oh, he's putting himself out there for us"?
Not anymore.
Brett put himself out there
not
for
anymore.
You guys.
But Gabe, back in the day, you know what we got too? The belt. Think anyone's getting the belt anymore? You think anyone's getting the belt anymore? It's just a different world. And I'm not saying this is right and this is wrong. I'm just telling you.
Well, I'll go
what
on
would happen in my
I feel
era.
Like the belt was not right, and you should not be considering.
No,
the belt
but I'm just saying, coaches. Coaches could say different things back in the day, and Holmgren will say it too. There were times Holmgren would go up because they would meet with Pat on Monday after the game, and they'd meet with Pat on Thursday, you know. And Holmgren drove a little bit of the bus there. He'd come up and practice. Say, you're playing, and you know what you did, Gabe?
You played.
So
can't do that anymore.
I'm fascinated by this perception that this game this weekend against the Detroit Lions, who are atop the division in what is apparently, or at least right now, arguably the best division in football, is somehow not that important. Like, this is one of those that from the beginning of the season I have had circled on the calendar as this will be a litmus test. This will be a measuring stick for how good the Packers are.
It's not as important as Jordan Love missing four games. Like, if he is
so
at a higher risk.
So that's the stipulation.
Correct. Like, if he is at a risk of potentially going from a strain to an actual pull or tear, like, it depends upon what that risk is. So that's where I'm 100% with Chew. Like, if there's a high risk of him aggravating that injury further and he has to miss more games after the bye, because, I mean, it's at the Bears, Niners who are getting healthier, Dolphins who are getting healthier, then at the Lions, at the Seahawks. Like, if he has to miss three or four of those games, like, it's worth, okay, if I know he's going to be available for those games, it almost seems worth, all right, let's just kind of take it easy this week, because if he ends up missing three or four of those games, that's going to be more detrimental than him not playing and losing this game.
Let's go out to the phone line, 800-990-3776. Give me 2 seconds, Chew. We've got Mo waiting patiently on the line. Mo, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Your thoughts on Chewy and Gabe now saying it is not worth it to lose Jordan Love for an extended period of time if he plays in the game this weekend.
Yeah, I just can't get around with that narrative. I wholeheartedly disagree. I mean, this is a team.
You disagree until it happens, right? Until he pulls it, and then he's out for 4 weeks. Because I did the same thing. I thought I was fine, and then blew my hamstring out, and then I was out for a month. So you can agree now. That's fine.
No, because, Chewy, you know the Packers medical staff, that how conservative they are. They're not going to put Jordan Love in a position where he can't defend himself, and we all know that. They're one of the most conservative medical staffs in the NFL, and the floor said it yesterday in his press conference. If they feel like Jordan Love cannot go out and defend himself, they're not going to put him out there, especially with the bye looming. But what my point is that this is a monumental game. Yes, it's one game at the end of the day, but this is a Lions team who I think is the best team in the NFL, and you have a chance to beat them at home, defending home turf, and staying atop of the NFC North division race, as well as the number one seed in the NFC. I mean, that's huge. I don't think the Packers want to go on the road again in the playoffs and face 2 to 3 really high caliber NFC teams. So when you look at the big picture, yes, it is. I mean, this is a Lions team that came into your house last year and destroyed you. And then on top of that, the whole stadium was filled with blue. I mean, I put out a tweet yesterday, and apparently a lot of people are telling me it's a gold package game, which sucks. But I don't want to see Lambeau filled with blue this week. This is a big game. Like, we need to show out. Packer Nation needs to get behind this team, and let's get a dub. Because this is a big game, whether you want to admit it or not.
So the problem is this, all right, and I don't know if you guys know cars, but to all my gearheads out there, you can't dyno test Jordan Love.
What's
You're
a dyno test?
You're not going out there and say...
What's a dyno
when
test?
When you put an engine together, when you have an engine, you send it out to dyno test, and you get it running at its maximum performance, okay? Horse and then, you know, test. You think they're going to be able to go out? You think they're going to be able to go, hey, Jordan, today? Okay, we're going to run a 40, okay? And if it's below 4.6, you're playing. If it's not, they're not going to do that. The thing's still injured. They're going to go like, hey, let's just, you know, slowly move this thing along, slowly. Do you think he's going to go over 80% in practice this week, Gabe?
No. No.
He's not. So then you get to a game, and it's just like, ooh, that was
well,
close.
But he works out before the games, too, right? Isn't that we've watched that sort of
workouts? Sure, but that's 60% or 70%.
You know,
you're not 100%.
You're moving a little quicker when a 300-pound lineman's trying to chase you down, I think.
Here's what I'm having a hard time rectifying is Jordan Love was in so much pain he wasn't able to complete the game. He couldn't defend himself. Now the scan was so good that we're not super fearful of re-injury or aggravating it worse. Like, I guess maybe it's just a pain threshold thing, but doesn't it feel weird to be at having to lose a game to not that bad?
But I think... When I saw the news of, oh, it's not that bad, it's, okay, it wasn't a tear, that's going to keep him out for 4 weeks. Like, because I was with Chu, like, the fact that he didn't finish the game, I mean, the people, who, especially in today's NFL, that don't finish games and then play next week, it's not high. Certainly it happens, but I guess I'm still thinking that based on, oh, it's not that bad, wasn't, oh, but he's... super good to go against Detroit.
I think we're ignoring the elephant in the room, Chu. The elephant in the room here is Malik Willis. If Malik Willis hasn't shown competency in the times he's been out there, if the offense hasn't been productive, if they haven't been able to win games, which they have at a pretty impressive clip, then people are saying, get your ass back out there, Jordan. We need you. But because Willis has been a dependable backup, people are going, you know what, Jordan? We got this. We can get it, and we may not beat the Lions, but we can put together a good offense with Malik Willis under center, which is crazy to me, by the way. Are we are we Texas now? Are we Texas with Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning? Is that what's happening here?
I don't think he's Arch.
And let me ask you guys this. What's a bigger game? Detroit this week or Detroit a month from now?
Detroit a month from now.
Thank you. Jeez, I'm crowing. I know because, Mo's at 17-0, but, I mean, just look at this thing, you know.
Because, Chewy, this is a big game, because if you win, then you're even and all those different things. And if you lose, there's still 8 games to try to make up that gap. Like, you still have time to recover. This isn't a game that's in December where you need to win it to keep the playoff hopes alive. You're in a really good position because Malik did what he did against Jacksonville in leading that drive to get you the game-winning field goal to get that victory. Like, you're in a good spot now where I think you can be conservative with Jordan Love. And I have no doubt, to Mo's point, that the training staff is going to be conservative because that is their nature.
And if they're splitting games, if they're splitting games with Detroit, I want them to win in Detroit a month from now or whatever, then win this game.
800-990-3776. Reaction rolling in hot and heavy on the YouTube stream. Let Jordan sit. The risk is not worth the reward. That from Packers Gamer YT. I'm siding with the ESPN doc. I think that's you, Chu. Mad City Brew says, Love should sit Packers Gamer, who I just mentioned a moment ago, says we might win with Malik Willis. There's not a lot of tape on Willis, and he does protect the ball. Jaylian says Malik will be fine, especially if Jacobs can take over in this game. Grant says, do we need to win the division? Packers are a playoff team, no doubt, either way. Lots of reaction rolling in. We got to take a break. We've got top 8 at 8 coming up next.
Power rankings.
Power rankings, that's right. Same top diff. 8 at 8 is on Thursdays.
There's a list. Tuesday. Somebody reads it off.
I take it off mostly, so that's really what I was aiming for there. We've got power rankings coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. A weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks straight from a fan favorite and Bucks legend. Tune in to hear Here District with Marcus Johnson. He's a Bucks legend, of course, and this is a Bucks Plus audio production. It's Marcus and his son, Chris. They talk about everything happening in the Bucks world. They are joined by some of the biggest names in basketball, and they will answer your questions as well. You can listen wherever you get your podcast on the Bucks app or on bucks.com/plus.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What do we do? Where do we go from here?
We've talked about insulation. We've talked about fantasy camp, and now we've talked about Burning Man. We've hit for the cycle in the first 5 minutes of the show.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Enjoy the last moments of summer knowing that your money is growing with Great Midwest Bank. Make a deposit and watch your savings soar. Feel the freedom of financial stability while you enjoy the last rays of summer. Sounds like we're going to have a pretty summerish day today in the Milwaukee area. I saw like close to 80. From high yield savings to easy online access, we make managing your money simple. Let Great Midwest Bank be your financial oasis in every season. Visit greatmidwestbank.com to see what products they have for you.
It's Chewy's favorite segment of the week.
Hey, big guy, you catch the game?
It's power rankings time on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you catch the game last night? Can I say yes to you?
What will the big guy have in store for us today?
See the game last night?
Which game?
Any of them.
What do you got, Chew?
Okay, we got power rankings. I will use Gabe's term. It's fine. It's fine.
Better than last week? Because you had a lot of issues with it last week, I feel.
I'm okay with it.
Okay.
No, not as bad as last week. I'm okay with it. I'm good to go. All right, with that being said, let's give me number 10.
I really wish I kept my notebook like I did in previous years where I would like go back and look and see what the power rankings were the previous week. But now I just do it on our show sheet, and then I throw the show sheet away, and then I'm trying to do it from memory. I don't think it's the best technique. To be perfectly honest with you. All that to say, I am stalling. Number 10? Vikings.
I'm going to say they tried to sneak the 49ers in there.
Philadelphia. Damn, Freedom. Right, Frank's favorite song.
Is it really?
Frank Winters 52. Yes. I don't know why.
Frank Winters 52. I love that every time you mention Frank now, you're like, he played for the Packers. He's my buddy. Yeah. Like, all of the qualifiers.
A little overweight. He's fine.
So the Eagles are at number, hold on. And what is the Eagles' record right now?
They are 5-2.
5-2.
So that helps set the standard.
They beat the Bengals pretty easily, 37-17. All right, 9.
I think the Vikings have got to be down here in these bottom 5, unless they're out. Vikings.
I'll say the Commies.
Jen's on the board. The Vike Queens are number 9. They were off this last week. Lost to the Rams. Oh, no, they weren't.
No, they lost on Thursday.
Rams on Thursday night, yeah. 30-20. So they were at 6, dropped to 9.
We're pro-Commies here around here. Like, we like the Commies as a nickname for the Commanders.
That's all I call them.
Josh is just, like, emphatically shaking his head.
I haven't said
back
Commanders
there.
Ever.
Okay.
Except for that.
Except for that.
They're just the Commies.
Are they 5-2 as well, the Vikings?
They are
5-2 right. As well.
How about the Ravens, then, at number 10, 9, 8?
We'll run it back with the Commies.
You're both wrong. Pittsburgh at number 8.
Ooh.
I would have to say they're the
I guess you have to put them up there because they keep winning.
I mean, they're 6-2.
Yeah, but they played the Giants last night. Man, are they a tough team to watch. The Giants.
Giants or Pittsburgh? Because they're both kind of painful to watch.
Yeah, why not both?
It seems like every score with Pittsburgh is like the most unconventional score ever. Like, they're playing different football.
Even when they score a lot of points, they scored 37.
Yeah, and 26. Like, what are you guys doing out there? Just score touchdowns.
They can't.
I mean, if they had
part of the problem.
If they had a quarterback, though, would they be top four?
I mean, if the Giants had a quarterback, is Daniel Jones that bad?
No, he is that bad.
He is.
Yeah, he is that bad. He's talking about the Steelers.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, watching him, it feels like it's a lack of weapons around him. You can only go to neighbors so many times. Sorry.
I don't know. If you put Justin Herbert on that team, are they?
They're
Super
probably
Bowl contender.
Probably.
I mean, yeah. Who knows?
I tell you what, that's another organization that is run so well. I'm sorry.
You don't have to apologize for that. It's a well-run organization.
All right, get off my back. Give me seven.
No one is on your back. Who did I just guess on the last one? The Ravens? I'm going to go with the Ravens again.
Third time's the charm. Commies.
Gabe's on the board. Commies are seven. Commies are seven. How would it have been, though? Because I guess you guys aren't going to guess the Bears, right?
Correct. The Bears are outside.
If the Bears won that game and the Bears are 15, they would have been...
They could have been 10.
5-2.
They could have been 10 or 11.
Is that fair?
Yeah, look.
Is that fair?
Their quarterback play
No, I know that was the first team they beat.
Yeah.
No, I know, but...
Their defense is really good. Their quarterback play leaves something to be desired right now.
Yeah, okay.
Oof. And just so you know, they're talking about it on GetUp right now, Chew. The Bears' remaining strength of schedule is the hardest in the league.
Because they haven't played a divisional game yet, and all the teams in the division are good.
That's a shame.
Really?
Yeah. Feel real bad about that, don't you, Joshy? All right, six. Okay, if third time's the charm worked for Gabe, we're going third time's the charm here for the Ravens. Because I don't think they're in the top five, but I think they're in the top 10. So, Ravens.
Yeah, we'll go Baltimore.
Baltimore is six. Did they not drop enough? They went from 4-6.
They're still a good team.
Yeah, they're still good.
They've got a big problem.
That's a bad loss, though.
This was the most obvious loss. Like, because here's the thing. The Browns team, like, roster-wise, is actually good.
Yes.
And they just needed a quarterback that could be competent, and now they have that in Jameis.
Okay.
Who quite possibly might have been the first NFL player to, quote, both Jesus Christ and Eminem in a post-game interview.
Wait, I missed that one. Who
Father
was this?
And the Son, of course.
Who did that?
Jameis.
Oh, no, I didn't see that. I saw the line. Yeah, I saw the line that
he thanked
you can't
the Lord.
Spell my name without wins or something like that.
Yeah. He thanked the Lord and then closed it out by saying, there's a white boy from Detroit named Eminem, and then quoted Eminem lyrics.
He also, in his pump-up speech, said, let's play for the decals on our helmets. And then he said, well, we don't have decals. Never mind.
I hope he never retires. No, I hope he never retires.
He's a factory of content.
He's a content machine.
All right, five.
Packers. Green Bay Packers.
Houston Texans.
Gabe's hot.
Dang it.
Texans are five. Beat the Colts barely.
Packers beat the Texans head to head, that they would put the Packers ahead of the Texans.
Yes. That's how it works. Four.
That's not always how it works.
No, because you were upset last week when they had the Packers ahead of the Vikings.
That's a good point. Consistency. Way to go. Gabe, you correct me, and you just keep me consistent, all right?
I wasn't correcting you. I was just saying you were upset last week.
Nah, I'm pretty sure you're correcting me.
I was making Jen's point.
Josh.
Johnny corrections over here.
Jesus Christ.
Is that weed whacker worthy? Is that weed whacker worthy?
I was very careful when we talked about the Bucks. I was very careful.
Well, you don't want to get weed whacked.
No, but I get so excited when I hear that because it means the grass is growing. Either that or my wife's manscaping in the bathroom. All right, give me three.
She doesn't manscape.
I thought we were on four.
What? Manscape is famously for the man.
So what's a woman called?
I don't have that answer.
Yeah, a little pause there.
You should have thought about it before saying.
He asked the appropriate follow-up.
Is it just grooming? Is it just...
No, I think it's manscaping. It doesn't matter. It's universal.
Of course it is. Yeah. Man is everything. Number four has got to be the Green Bay Packers. Give me my rib back.
Packers.
You relax over there, Genesis. Give me my rib back.
Three.
So
Packers are
four. Yes, thank you.
Buffalo is three.
Two.
Detroit.
Yeah.
Casey.
And there you have it. That's fine, right? Fine.
Yeah, you're okay fine. With where the Packers are?
I only had one issue, though. What was it? It was... No, I think I'm okay.
Good.
No, it was good. Good list. Good list.
Good. Good. Glad we got that.
We're done. We're done.
Okay. All right. Well, guys, I've been telling you the one place to go if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, the Jewelry Center is the only place to go for the ring. Best place to shop for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason. Dean, the dancing machine, has put together a great, helpful staff over there at the Jewelry Center. So if you don't know what your special someone is potentially looking for in an engagement ring, maybe go to her Pinterest page. If she has something on there, take that into the team at the Jewelry Center, and they're always going to point you in the right direction. Naturally mined diamonds, lab-grown diamonds, whatever you're in the market for when it comes to an engagement ring, the Jewelry Center has it. So check out their inventory at any one of their three locations, Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington, or just shop online at shoptjc.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Have you never had a good pie?
I've had fine pies.
You get no pie.
Right now, yeah.
I mean, seems that way anyway. But if we get him on those dating sites, it feels like maybe he could.
Yeah. On 94.5 ESPN.
Guys, we got to talk about something important. You. Taking care of your health and appearance is not just about looking good. It's about feeling strong and confident and ready to take on the world. At Quintessa Aesthetic Center, they make it real easy for you. With experts in advanced skincare, body contouring, and anti-aging treatments, Quintessa is here to help you stay sharp and at your best. Trust me, guys, when you look good, you feel even better. So why wait? It's time to visit myquintessa.com. Just go to that website, take a look around, see some of the services that they have that might be good for you and where you are in life. It is a step towards a more confident you. It's a reaction rolling in, guys. We put it on the ESPN Twitter account. Whose lack of production are you more concerned about? And we said Rashawn Gary and Lucas Van Ness. And people are very invested in this conversation. Michael says, Gary, honestly, I think he should move to the inside more often. Really like a Smith, Clark, Gary, Van Ness front four. Do you think they could move him, Gabe? Would moving him make a difference?
I mean, not really. It's anytime there's been a blocker in front of him, he has not gotten home.
I don't want Devontae Wyatt or Kyle Brooks getting less snaps either.
That Devontae Wyatt currently leads your team in sacks.
Yes.
So that seems like a bad idea to take him off the field. Uh-huh. I mean, if you wanted to come up with a special sub package and do it occasionally.
Which they have been doing.
Yeah, they've done from time to time. I'm fine with that, but you can't do it. You clearly can't do it on first and second down. You're bad enough against the run. Getting smaller on the inside just seems like a bad idea.
Is Jair not playing? Is that a huge concern?
Yes.
Because he typically, when he does... The MRI, and he's
gets
usually
hurt.
Taking the next week off. That's not good, right?
The corners, I mean, if him and Evan Williams both don't play, Chew, like, once Evan Williams went out, that's when the Jags started having a lot of success in the passing game. And
yeah,
guess who's more scary throwing the football between Jacksonville and Detroit?
Yeah, I agree. Is this the best offense they've faced all year? Probably. Yeah, it's got to be.
I mean, aren't they the best offense
Yeah, I think they're the best offense in the league. So probably, yes.
Yeah.
It's the best offense anybody faces on any given week.
But Philly's not that far behind, are they?
Philly's not that far behind. Shockingly, Minnesota's probably not that far behind.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like Jair being out.
I really don't know if he is going to be, because he was rather emphatic after the game. I think the scan was to be... just absolutely sure. But like he was like jumping around post-game with the report. So I don't know how the concern is.
I want to hear from Matt LaFleur about the pass rush, because Jason did say he got to ask him about the pass rush and why it has underwhelmed this season. Take a listen to how Matt LaFleur addressed that when he was asked about it yesterday.
I think you could argue some situations, absolutely. I mean, obviously, in a perfect world, you can rush four and you're playing coverage with seven. That makes it really hard on an offense. But, you know, the thing that can kind of combat that, and you see it all the time, is a lot of people in today's football are leaving tight ends off the edges. They're chipping with the backs, and that makes it really hard on a four-man rush when ultimately you basically have seven pass blockers at times, and they're still getting out on checkdowns. So I think every situation is a little bit different in regards to if they get one-on-ones, yeah, you want them to win their one-on-ones. Nice. And nobody's going to be perfect. I've yet to see a perfect pass rusher in terms of winning 100% of their one-on-ones. But ultimately, when you get those opportunities, we'd like our guys to be able to take advantage of them.
Okay, so that's the standard then?
So, I don't think a lot of O coordinators are going into the game going, hey, we've got to chip Rashawn Gary. We got to get him uncomfortable. I mean, we can watch film. We can watch the games. I have not seen a lot of that. I don't think they're going to do it this week with Laporta because he's such a good receiving tight end. I think they're going to get him out. So, God, why is he going to bat for these guys?
To offer meager defense, I felt like I was listening to Matt LaFleur try and convince himself as he was trying to convince us.
Well, I mean, nobody's perfect, Josh. So, I mean, as long as nobody's perfect, you know, no one's going to win 100% of their one-on-ones. How about 10% of the one-on-ones? 15? Can I ask for that?
That's why I can't. That's why when it comes to Jordan Love, I can't take anything he says to heart because he just sells it. And that's fine. You want to be covert. You want Detroit to prepare for Malik as well as Love. But I just don't buy it. I mean, you think he's using Adam as a mouthpiece?
I don't.
Adam even knowing.
So I think Adam, with Adam in the stuff we heard from Shefty about Love potentially playing on Sunday, I think that's just him talking about the experience he's had in the league based on what he heard. So like based on his experience, based on what he heard, he's expecting Jordan Love to play. I don't think somebody told him, hey, we're expecting him to play.
Wouldn't it lead you to believe he heard that from the agent? Which would make it more likely than if it is coming from him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the agent, when it came to the MCL, was so...
Yeah.
Didn't want him playing, you know?
So, I
don't know.
We'll get a lot of information tomorrow after practice to see how limited and not limited he is and try to parse any information out of that.
But do you agree with me, Chu, that a lot of the willingness to have Jordan sit... get healthy with the bye, and then when is the following game? Is there more time there as well? I know.
No, it's just the following Sunday.
It's just the following Sunday. Noon game?
I believe so.
And that's who?
That's Chicago.
And yes, Chicago.
At Chicago, noon on the 17th.
Okay.
Do you think that it has to do with Malik Willis and having shown competency and having shown that he can when thrown into that situation? And this would be obviously, if they don't think Jordan's going to go, they would obviously cater the offense for Malik being under center instead. Because, you know, if you've got a bum back there, if you've got somebody, I hate to say Sean Clifford, but you don't think he could have won these games. If you have somebody else back there, aren't you more, aren't you pressuring Jordan? Don't you feel more?
Him?
Yeah, aren't you more inclined to have him out there? Doesn't the Malik Willis thing sort of take the pressure off a little bit?
If we find out that Malik Willis is going to be playing on Friday, I'm not throwing up a white flag. The guy's been pretty damn good.
Yeah,
right?
he's been pretty good.
It's him coupled with LaFleur putting a game plan together to beat teams that is so good.
But also,
I would not throw the white flag up at all.
Detroit's defense is better than the defenses he's faced. Significantly better than the defenses he's faced.
Yeah, but there's just something about him. I don't know.
Like that's where I would have the pause. Like, and again, not taking away anything from Malik. It's going from those three teams that he's played, oddly enough, all from the AFC South, to playing a defense that's been pretty good, granted without Aiden Hutchinson. That's a step up.
Yeah.
Super random, guys, as we were talking about offense, defense, etc. I just saw a stat from Next Gen Stats that says Goff is averaging a league-high 11.6 yards per attempt under pressure this season. No other QB is over 9. He leads all qualified quarterbacks in yards per attempt, completion percentage, CPOE, and passer rating under pressure this season. So, hear me out. Just think about it. Maybe Gabe you don't pressure him. Maybe you don't secret pressure. Weapon. I'm just putting it out there as a sort of, I don't know, chess and checkers sort of thing here.
I have a question. What is his numbers when he's not pressured at all?
I don't have those in front of me. Conveniently, I'm just saying.
Because he did have a game where he didn't throw an incompletion, and then has had like 2 weeks where he's had like three in each. I think everything's just going well over there.
Yeah, everything. When you're completing nearly 75% of your passes.
And they're just playing pitch and catch out there.
Yeah, but coupled with the fact that they can run the ball too.
Yeah.
So their play action game is pretty good. They're not bums. Their offensive line is, you know, probably comparable to Green Bay.
They've
maybe
got
a little better.
This might be the best.
They've got two guys they can run the ball with too. That's the scary part. And they do a pretty good job of balancing them.
John weighing in saying, LaFleur isn't sounding panicked at all. Let's go out to the phone lines. 800-990-3776.
What are you talking about? I mean, nobody's ever perfect in every defense they have, Jen.
Ainsley in Milwaukee. You're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning.
Good morning to you. I ran this by KBN Nation yesterday, and I hate to propose the idea, but I kind of draw to the NBA load management scenario with this weekend, and it's not our Super Bowl. It's not Chicago versus us. Chicago Super Bowl. And just rest the guys up. I mean, what do we got, 20 days after? I'm curious what Chewy thinks of this.
I think I said it earlier in the week where I wanted to rest the whole roster. No. I mean, look, this is a big game. It's not a huge game. It really isn't. And I asked, you know, I said earlier, I would rather have them playing unbelievably a month from now in Detroit and beat them there than today. You know, it's just more important for them to start trending a month from now than it is trending right now. That's just how I look at it.
We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, but I have a question for Chew that I'm going to ask him when we come back. Gabe?
You know how much we love Palermo's here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, and it is National Pizza Month. National Pizza Month coming to a close, but still plenty of time to head to your local grocer's frozen food aisle and stock up on all the different brands that Palermo's has. Palermo's, Urban Pie, Connie's, Surfer Boy, Screamin' Sicilian. Just think about all the different ones they have for Screamin' Sicilian that fits in terms of the different types of pizza that they have. So they're going to have a slice that certainly fits your appetite. And when it comes to frozen pizza, there's one name synonymous right here in Wisconsin for over 60 years. Palermo's knows what they're doing when it comes to premium quality frozen pizza. Find them in your grocer's frozen food aisle. Palermo's. Flavor is our family's business.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Go ahead. Is it against the law to be a moron or no?
The law.
Not yet.
I texted this to Jen earlier. The law does protect some people from things that are called an attractive nuisance.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Gabe and I were just rolling through some stats, trying to see if there were any deficiencies for the Lions. And I was like, hey, you know what? Like, total defense, they're like 18th in the league in total defense, according to just the numbers, defensive yards average. And then passing, they're not great at that. And then I said, well, maybe you can run the ball against the Lions. And I was like, oh, they're fifth against the run. So they're holding teams to under 93 yards on the ground per game. Now, Gabe made a good point. They're getting up big. Teams are being forced to throw the ball, so maybe you don't have as many rush yards late in the games. But Gabe did not find a path. You didn't find a, like, obvious path to game plan against this team.
And again, not that, I mean, Pro Football Focus, just a tool, but they've got the Detroit Lions ranked as the best defense, the seventh best run defense, the second best pass rush, the third best coverage unit. You know, they're tackling, they're only the sixth best at tackling, so.
Which will be a big problem if Malik plays, because they are going to have to run the ball.
Right. Oh, 100%. Yeah. Any game plan involving Malik is heavy,
yeah,
heavy rush.
Have to be run heavy, yeah.
So before we walk out here this morning, I got a question for Black Eyed Peas. I got a feeling over there. Chewy, you said you had a feeling that the Packers were going to add a pass rusher. Do you still feel that way? Do you still have that little tingle?
Now I do a little more because, like I said, they want to beat Detroit to the punch. I mean, Campbell shouldn't have showed his hand if it's true that they're going out to get someone.
But I mean, again, if they go out and get Za'Darius, it's not like Za'Darius is coming here. Like that's
Za'Darius ain't cut. That bridge is torched.
That's
there is no way to get to downtown Green Bay anymore. That bridge is gone.
In that case, LaFleur is like, good luck.
Best of luck to you with him.
Would you like to use my dinghy?
Oh, to get to Green Bay, I get it. Bridge is gone.
Yeah, it's a small boat, Gabe.
Will the Adouch is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great one, everybody.